Hey, InterVarsity alumni. This is After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. This is both an exciting and potentially tricky transition that you're making, and you might feel a little unsure about the coming weeks and months. We're here to provide you with expert advice, practical skills, and plenty of encouragement as you learn how to keep saying yes to Jesus in your new context. This is After Four, and this podcast is for you, alumni. What's up, alumni? Welcome to After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. I'm your host and guide, John Steele. Today is the official final episode of our Relational Transition series, and you're going to get to hear some parting words from a few of our recent guests. You can check the show notes for a link to each person's original episode. First up is Emily Francis, who joined us for episode 102 about ending well with friends on campus, and Emily is going to share a few thoughts specifically around preparing to say goodbye to friends that you probably aren't going to keep up with after graduation. Really helpful tools here. Enjoy. As you've walked through this with the students, are there any relationships that they're sometimes surprised that came to mind? Like any people that are outside of their typical, like these are my InterVarsity friends that I spend the most time with. Like, are there other people that you should consider ending well with outside of your chapter?
Yeah, there's always people that, you know, a student will say, they just came to mind and I hadn't seen them in a year, but I just had this feeling I need to see them one more time. And that's the beauty of discernment with the Lord is, you know, he sees far more than we do. And so he will, I think, both bring to mind people maybe we hadn't thought of, and or I've also seen him just give peace about a student kind of leaving a friendship where it is as they graduate. There's a fourth year I was discipling a year ago, and he was kind of thinking through all these people. And there was a really close friend. They'd had kind of a up and down relationship. And as he was doing this discernment with me and thinking through how do I want to end well, that person came to mind as someone he just had a lot of peace about wanting to meet with one more time, pray for. But if they didn't keep up after college, you know, the Lord was going to take care of that person. And so I've seen just that time of discernment, the Lord, I think, brings clarity, also maybe brings to mind someone that wouldn't be in your kind of top three, my people, they're like my best friends, but maybe it's someone who is in your small group that doesn't know the Lord or is on their own seeking journey, or someone you've really poured into that you realize this is actually someone I don't want to compromise not keeping up with. Like, even though it's going to take a little more work and they're not, you know, someone I'm going to see naturally, I do want to put in the work to keep up with them for this next year and see them through whatever this next season is. So again, all intention, because if we don't spend that time with the Lord and thinking about it intentionally, then I think we don't get to do that process. We shortcut some of what the Lord might be inviting us to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I even just think, you know, as I'm sitting here taking stock, you know, all these years later, I'm like, man, I really wish that I would have like sat down with my advisor one last time to have a non-advisory conversation and to just be like, you have really walked through a lot of my college experience with me and helped prepare me. And I was blessed to go to a smaller school where I got to have a much closer relationship than maybe a lot of people do with their advisor. But that's somebody that even now I'm like, oh man, that wouldn't have necessarily been all that obvious to me. Or maybe some of the other people in my major that like, we worked on a bunch of projects together. You're not real. I don't know that I would call you a friend, but we've kind of gone through some stuff together here. And it would have been great to just have one final moment of like, way to go. I really appreciate the work that we did together. And to, you know, have a professional sort of conversation with them of like, good luck in what happens next at grad school or in work or whatever it might be. Those are some of the places that I look of like, gosh, I don't know that I had those. And that probably would have been beneficial.
Yeah. And the advisor is a great example too of maybe it doesn't come to mind in the friend circle thinking, but
yes,
graduation is such a me-centered time. You're just so focused on my job, my graduation, just having the best experience to finish college. I think being intentional this time also helps us come back from that a little bit, like take ourselves out of the center and say, who do I want to thank for the ways they've poured into me. So an advisor, your inner varsity staff, a mentor, a church leader, like just, there are people that I wish that really meant a lot to me in college and I never saw them again. And I wish that I had just said thank you as I was graduating. But again, it's just so easy to be so focused on yourself. So that's a absolutely. Great example.
Emily, you've talked about kind of developing this list of your non-negotiables. Like, these are the people that I'm going to maintain a friendship with. So when we think about ending well, it doesn't necessarily mean ending relationships. Because there are ones that you're like, here are ones that I really want to lean into and do the work of maintaining. But there will be some that it will be an actual process of ending the ongoing relationship. Can you just talk a little bit about the process of kind of discerning who are those people and what does it look like to really come to terms with that as this, like, this is a friendship that is not going to continue on and that's not necessarily a bad thing and it's not dishonoring to the relationship that we had. So can you talk about that discernment process and what it looks like to come to terms with that reality?
Yeah, I love, you know, frameworks and diagrams. I love just the, you know, here's the five steps to doing it. And I don't have that.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I really wanted someone to give me the, here is the very clear, you know, lines of this is how you know when a person is this, and this is how you know when you'll keep up with them. And there is a lot of gray area. So sorry to everybody listening that really wants a framework. I do think there are a couple categories. So we talked about the non-negotiables. These are my people. These are the ones I'm not going to compromise on not keeping up with. Then I think there's the people that we really probably deep down know we're not going to keep up with. They were a friend we saw every week in class. They're someone we just maybe feel a lot of peace about. You know, this was the season of friendship and I can kind of move on from that. And like I said, part of that might be meeting up with them and just thanking and affirming them and not setting falsely the expectation that you'll keep up with them. So I'm not saying you need to literally send a breakup text, but I think sometimes we want to, in college, you're always like, I'll see you next week or we'll meet up. And, you know, sometimes we just need to not overpromise. So not saying, we'll keep up every week after college, just saying like, we'll just let it be. And then I think there's this huge middle category of people that maybe we love, we really connect with, we really want to keep up with, but we're not going to make a plan to do an every week call with them. And that's where I think we just get to honor them and then kind of see what the Lord does. So there was one friend I had where we were really good friends through especially our sophomore and junior year. And I really wanted to keep up with him. And so we kind of texted after I moved to Norfolk and he was about an hour away, but he was really, really bad at keeping up. He was a really bad texter. I knew that I had heard from other friends of his that he just kind of just stopped responding. He wasn't good at trying to coordinate seeing one another and doing phone calls. And I think that someone not putting in the effort on their end to do that is a good indicator that maybe that's a sign that friendship has had its season. Like if you are putting in 100% or even 80% of the effort for the next year to maintain it, that's just not sustainable. And so had to kind of come to terms even after graduation, even like later that winter about, okay, I think this is someone who I would love to see him if he ends up reaching out again, but I can't do all the work in trying to maintain this. And I'm just going to kind of let that go and name that we had a really fun friendship in college. And then on the other side of the spectrum, I had a friend who was one of my small group leaders my fourth year. And she actually moved 30 minutes from me in this kind of when I moved an hour away from my internship and I didn't know anybody. Okay. And so I said, Tess, you're 30 minutes from me. Like, can we hang out? I don't have any friends. And we were friends in college. I wouldn't say we were best friends or hung out regularly, but she and I just became really good friends that year because we were kind of clinging to each other in a season where we just didn't know anyone. And she's still a really good friend to this day. She ended up marrying one of my best friends on staff. And so it's just a fun, like, she and I didn't know, like, we didn't have any kind of conversation or plan to keep up. And that friendship has just really maintained over the years. And so I think there's ways we just don't know. I do think if you're moving in the same area as someone from college that you're friends with, really hold on to that. Don't take that for granted because starting over is really hard. So there might be like acquaintances moving to the area that you weren't best friends in college, but you might be after. And So basically just leaving some room for the spirit to do what he's going to do and to be surprised by people. But I think there are people where we won't really know which category they fall in until a little bit later, which is why just having this posture of honoring friendships and not really knowing who we're going to keep up with is helpful, because it releases some of the shame and guilt as we realize, like, oh, that's not a person I did keep up with, or that's someone we just are in different stages of life now, where they, you know, we're just turning into different people, and just having some grace to let that go.
Yes. Yes. It is amazing. Just the people that you don't anticipate who end up becoming very important fixtures in your life and really close friends. And even that might only be for a season. Who knows? You never know where life is going to take any of you. But it's just, it is amazing how you can be surprised by who really does become a really important part of your relational life.
Yeah, I love that. And that's where I think we just have to have so much grace for ourselves in the graduation transition, because I mean, in college, you can maintain, honestly, a social circle of 100 people in a way that is literally not practical in any other season of your life. You'll never be able to maintain that big of a social circle again. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a relief for some people listening, and maybe that's really bad news. It was bad news for me because I love people. Yeah. I'm super extroverted. But I think just offering a lot of grace to say you're not going to be able to keep up with everyone, and the weight of maintaining every friendship is just not on your shoulders. No one is asking you to do that. And so there's going to be friendships like you just described that surprise you and that are just gifts from the Lord, and just to receive those with grace instead of feeling guilt that you didn't friend them more in college. And then, just being able to kind of release with the Lord the friendships that you are not going to be able to maintain, or where maybe the person isn't putting in the work to keep up with you. Like, you have time and energy, and maybe that's a sign that you're being called to pour more into the people that are being present with you where you are. So just a lot of grace, because it is a hard transition. It is hard to know what to do. And it's exhausting trying to do it perfectly.
Thanks again, Emily, for joining us for such a helpful conversation. And again, if you haven't listened to Emily's full episode, check the show notes for a link. She has so much practical advice for making a plan to stay connected with the friendships you want to maintain and how to bless others into the next season of life. Check it out. Up next is a brief return to my conversation with Dr. Brian Laritz. He has a final word of advice about why it is so important to put in the time required for building new relationships after graduation. And he has a few thoughts that align really nicely with what we just heard from Emily as well. Enjoy. By way of advice, Pastor Brian, whether it's related to building enduring friendships or just the experiences that you have had yourself or that you have watched other people have, do you have a final piece of advice that you would give to people who are stepping into their life after graduation?
Yeah, of course, I'll return to friendships. You know, it's interesting, and I talk about this in the book. If you were to do a study comparing and contrasting Samson and David in the Bible, you would find a lot of similarities, right? Both were incredible leaders. Both were warriors. I mean, they would cut your head off. Both had a weakness for women.
Mm.
Both fell in the area of women. One came out of it. One kind of languished in it. Yeah. What's the difference? Well, I think I can answer that question with a question. Who were Samson's friends?
Oh. Nobody, it seemed like.
He had no friends.
Wow.
But every time we see David, he's surrounded by men. It's, of course, his famous friendship with Jonathan. The Bible says there were 600 men who came to him in a cave.
Wow.
He's constantly. So I think we here in the West, our culture is such individualized and autonomous that we've been hardwired to believe that I can achieve all that I aspire to or all that God wants me to just by working harder, applying myself more. And that's just nowhere near the biblical picture. Even Jesus, on the night he was betrayed at his most vulnerable moment, he pulls together his friends, Peter, James, and John, and says, look, I need y'all to pray with me.
Yeah.
And so this thing is just all over the Bible. So I think what we're talking about, what you're aspiring to, don't give up on, keep plugging away at it. And the last thing I'll say is give yourself space. The norm is most friendships are for a season. You know, God will drop people in your life for a season. I think the average person can count on maybe 3 to 5 at the most.
Okay.
Lifetime, not acquaintances, lifetime friends
yes.
who supersede seasons. So don't get disappointed when people drop out. Maybe in God's sovereignty, he just wanted them there for that stretch of the marathon to encourage you. But keep plugging away at it.
Thanks again to Pastor Brian for joining us. If you missed it, you can catch Pastor Brian on episode 103 about making and keeping friends after graduation. You can find a link to that full conversation in the show notes. Our last word for today comes from Dr. Stephen Argue from the Fuller Youth Institute. Steve had so many helpful thoughts about relating to parents after graduation, especially if you're moving a significant distance away from home. This final thought is related to perfectionism and the fear of failure as it relates to the way that we invite parents into our adult decision-making process. Super helpful. Enjoy.
And, you know, maybe something else just to say here, and this is totally sideways and probably a conversation that you've had or will have. I do think that young adults are often sort of taunted by this sense of perfectionism, where like they're deathly afraid to make a wrong decision. Like to go off course means like your life is going to blow up. And so sometimes I think what can happen is we're all friends now on this podcast. You all like are going to ask for advice because it's the way to manage like failure. I guess what I want to say to all of you is you're going to fail and it's okay. And that the process of searching for answers, even if they're wrong, actually has tremendous amount of value. And I want to encourage you to be open yourself up to taking some chances, because I think that through that, I think you develop your own opinion, your own voice, your own sense of what you want to do. And certainly parents are a great resource to tap into. But I think you want to be careful that that doesn't turn into sort of a relational crutch or a perfectionism reinforcer, right? Like, or, you know, something like that. I don't even know what to call it. I'm making things up now on the podcast.
That's great.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I think that type of thing can perhaps be helpful in moments like that.
Yeah, I really like that. That it's so much more about the process of learning and coming to a decision as opposed to getting the actual decision itself right. Like that's nice when we make a decision correctly, this works out really well for us.
Yeah.
But even just like you start getting into a rhythm of, okay, this is what it's like for me to recognize a problem, for me to identify a few potential routes to get there, for me to research those options, and for me to invite wise counsel. Like
yeah.
that's a formula that you can take and apply across the board. And every time you do it, you just get a little bit better at it. And then the same thing comes up again. You're like, well, this didn't go so well last time when I went through door A. So this time I'm going to try door B. I know that's also a well-loved option and maybe that'll work nicely for me this time. And
yeah.
like learning that balance of not just saying mom, dad, or whoever, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I like that idea of do some research, present these options and say, what do you recommend based on your experiences? And you know, it develops ownership, it develops a skill set. And that's a skill set you're going to also be able to take with you into your job that your boss is really going to love, that you can do that. My
yeah.
wife has done some like training with people, new people in her work. She's in the HR world.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of has this thing of like, I want you to look 3 places to see if you can find the answer before you come ask me where it is.
Love it.
And like that's that's such a great skill of, okay, yeah. I'm going to look three different places and then I'll come to you and we'll debrief how this is going. So I really appreciate that perspective that you bring, Steve. I think that's really helpful.
Formationally, I think this is really crucial as well. Like, we have to begin to answer the why questions to the things that we do, not just the what questions. Like, and I think this becomes incredibly important in the third decade of life, where we actually have the capacity, the brain space, the intellect, and actually the ego. And I mean that in the best sense of the word, to actually ask why we do what we do. And everything from like pragmatic things, but even like, well, why do I go to church? Or why do I choose this church? Or why do I live my Christian life in this way? At some point we maybe said, well, we did that because our parents took us. And maybe, you know, through IV, we said, well, we do it because, you know, I'm in IV and that's what IV does. That's totally fine. But now you're at a point in your life where, like, the convictions that you have to run a little bit deeper, or they won't stick. And so this exercise of knowing why you do what you do and who you are becomes incredibly important as you map your life out.
Thanks again, Steve, for joining us. If you missed this full conversation, it's episode 106, Relating to Parents After Moving Out. And once again, you can find a link to it in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning in. Come on back next week for our new series about vocational transition, what it's like to actually jump into this full-time work that you've been waiting for, and specifically, what does it look like to follow Jesus in that context? Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you in the After, alumni. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, alumni. If there was anything that you learned, really enjoyed, or that encouraged you from today's episode, would you send us a DM or tag us in a story? We'd love to hear about it. You can find us at After4Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, take just a second to unlock your phone and subscribe to the podcast. If your platform lets you, leave us a rating and a review. And if you like what we're doing here, share us with your InterVarsity or other post-graduation friends. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you in the After, alumni.